Well, it's all.
Welcome to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM radio. You're here for an evolved perspective on life with dogs. And this week, after the first segment, we have author Robert Rohde on with us today. He has written a new book called Dogged Pursuit, My Year of Competing Dusty, the World's Least Likely Agility Dog. And it's a book all about his first year of agility training with a Sheltie that he adopts from a Sheltie rescue. And he's a pretty shy dog. And they both, he kind of talks about how he overcomes his social awkwardness, I think, both the dog and him, and how they improve. And it's a really, really enjoyable book. So I'm really looking forward to having him on in just a few minutes. And we will be giving away copies of that book, Dogged Pursuit, to callers who would like to receive a free copy of the book. So that's a Dog Talk Show hookup today. Hi, Eric.
Hey, Julie. Good afternoon. Good to see you.
You too.
I'm looking forward to this interview. I'm going to be listening for tips of how to get over my social awkwardness. So I'm not sure if the dog tips will work for people, but hey, it's worth a try.
Yeah. We'll get you an agility.
Yes, that's what I need. You got a haircut. Looking good. Sharp today.
Thank you. Yeah, got it out of my face.
Very good.
Yeah. And then I wish that people would do that for their dogs, too.
Took inspiration from a beardie, maybe.
Well, some dogs have that, like, have hair just kind of...
Right in their eyes, yeah.
Yeah, like, it's like, how do you even see?
Well, so. They smell in color, as we know, so...
Yes, true.
They don't care.
So before we get going with our interview, I've got some announcements to make. Some exciting things coming up this Saturday. The 11th at 2 p.m., I'm going to be at Pharmaca in Madison Park in Seattle doing a talk about training and behavior, as well as primarily answering questions, free advice.
Here's a question. What's Pharmaca?
Pharmaca is an integrative pharmacy, really, really cool store. It sort of blends naturopathic, holistic, and allopathic medicine into a very nice, balanced pharmacy. It's a really, really cool store.
So that would be Pharmaca, like P-H-A.
Yes.
Mica.
Right, M-A-C-A.
Like fat with a P-H.
Far.
Booyah.
Yeah. Yes,
fat,
exactly.
In the good way.
Fat, exactly.
Right. All right. Sorry, I'm
it's all right.
Throwing back to
there's that social awkwardness
there.
That
yeah,
we
exactly.
were talking about. So, yeah, Pharmaca, they have a store in Madison Park. They have a store in Wallingford as well. I'm going to be in the Madison Park location this Saturday, the 11th at 2 p.m., as well as this coming Tuesday, the 14th at 5:30 p.m. So if you are anywhere in the area, come down and say hi. I'm going to have free samples of Natural Pet Pantry raw food. You can get a pound of that to take home and try. I'm going to have treats to give out, Bit of Love treats, Metau dog treats. So, good deal.
Nice.
Yeah, so come down and say hi. Of course, I've got Dog Talk Show car stickers to give away. As always, if you would like a Dog Talk Show car sticker, very cute, very cool, waterproof stickers, feel free to just send me an email and I'll get one out to you in the mail if you can't come in person. And that is host@dogtalkshow.com.
That reminds me, I got to slap one of those bad boys on the old hybrid and
absolutely
make sure I'm rocking the Dog Talk Show sticker.
Yeah, he's cute.
It's a sharp sticker.
It is. A really cute logo. And you can check out that logo on the website, which is www.dogtalkshow.com, as well as archive shows. So Pharmaca, and then all the best pet care, the new location in Ballard. It's a Tuesdays in Ballard thing that they're putting on for businesses in the Ballard area, sort of running special things on Tuesdays to kind of get people out in the neighborhood, get the community out. I think all the best is handing out $5 off coupons off your next purchase if you come in on Tuesdays. I was there yesterday. Again, free training and behavior advice, nutrition advice. I'm there to just talk to you, answer your questions. I also have all sorts of stuff to give away. And I'll be there for, I think, most Tuesdays through the rest of the summer. And I'm going to have my booth set up probably outside the store on the street, so you won't be able to miss it. It's on right on Market Street as you head into Old Ballard. That's All the Best Pet Care, Tuesdays through the end of the summer. And that is this coming Tuesday. I'll be there in the afternoon, so I'll be there from probably roughly noon to 3, and then I'll be heading over to Pharmaca 5:30 on. So I'll be in two locations in Seattle on Tuesday. Two for Tuesday. And that is, Tuesdays, come down and say hi. It was really fun. Got to talk to lots of people. They had kittens up for adoption. The Maxmobile, which is the Seattle Humane Society's mobile adoption vehicle, was there. And they were able to adopt out some animals that needed homes.
Very cool.
Yeah, fun event. So I'm out and about quite a bit this summer. And last but not least, I was mentioned last week about the Lost Pet Recovery Booth at Seattle Animal Shelter. That was Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday following the 4th of July. Mm-hmm. And I was with Missing Pet Partnership is the organization. You can check them out at missingpetpartnership.org. And they had a Lost Pet Recovery Booth set up outside the Seattle Animal Shelter, which is on 15th in Seattle, just north of the city. And it was amazing. I have there were lots of success stories as a result of the work that they do. There's so many animals that get separated from their humans as a result of the fireworks. So it's a really important time to kind of up the efforts to reunite people with lost pets so that they don't end up labeled as stray and in the shelters homeless.
I gotta say, when I got back to my house after the fireworks, I was a little worried because I couldn't find one of my cats. I actually found him under my bed with his paws over his ears going, no! But luckily he was okay.
That's a hard time.
A little soothing after.
So I have a success story to talk about, which, and there were a lot, but I'm just going to pick one for today's show, and then you can probably get on Lost Pet or missingpetpartnership.org and probably hear about some other of their success stories from that weekend and beginning of the week. But what they did was they were working with the shelter. So if somebody called in and said that they had found a dog, they would write it down. They would get all the information, and then, you know, when it was found, what it looked like, any special features, did it have any lumps or anything like that, collar, etc. And then if anyone called in who had reported that they lost a pet, they would also write all that down, get all the information, etc. So there were quite a few people who came in and, you know, had lost their dog, and then they actually were like, oh, this person actually called in and they have your dog. So it was in some cases as easy as that. But there was this one woman who called in, older woman, and she lives in Port Angeles, and she was visiting the VA hospital, which is on Beacon Hill, right near my house, visiting her brother-in-law, who's in the hospital there, and she had her Chihuahua Dachshund mix in the car with her, who was waiting in the car, and she had the windows down, and I think the dog got out, like somehow they were down too far, and the dog jumped out and was gone.
Wow.
And so she called the shelter, and they were then Missing Pet Partnership volunteers talked to her. And this is something that comes up a lot for them, is people have different behaviors when they lose a pet. And in her case, because of the probably avoidance of grief and probably wanting closure, was kind of just like, I'm sure the dog's dead. I'm sure the dog got hit by a car or got killed by another dog, or, you know, was kind of just like,
she was a little freaked out.
Totally freaked out and just thinking that there was no hope at all. And they were really encouraging her. No, no, no. You know, somebody's got him. Somebody in the area's got him. It's really just a matter of finding him. And they really kind of had to convince her to, you know, come down to the booth. They were giving out these free big fluorescent posters that are really effective. You can go to the website to see what those look like. And so she went down. She got those. This was Monday. I was there on Monday at the booth helping them out. And Monday evening, she goes, she puts the posters up near the VA hospital where the dog got out. And then the next morning at 9 a.m., the woman who had the dog saw the posters on her way to work, called her. And she actually called me because she had my number because I lived in the neighborhood. I told her that I would help put posters up or, you know, chalk my car advertising for her dog and
so
stuff
it's
like that.
A real success story.
Yeah. And she was just, you know, and she just didn't think that she was going to be able to get the dog. And then it was like less than probably 12 hours later, she gets reunited. So
that's wonderful.
Such an amazing organization. They need help. Check it out. Missingpetpartnership.org. It really works. It's so inspiring. So that was really exciting to be a part of that and to actually get to witness some of these things happening and see the relief on people's faces, because I just can't imagine being separated from my pets and not knowing where they were. So we are going to take a break, and we will be back in a few minutes with Robert Rohde, author of Dogged Pursuit, My Year of Competing Dusty, the World's Least Likely Agility Dog. You're listening to The Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. This is Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Get your dog to smile with treats good enough for people, but specially made for dogs. Introducing Bitolove, the treat that's made in the U.S. with USDA-inspected meat, without any artificial flavors, colors, or byproducts. It's guaranteed to make them smile. So the next time your four-legged family member comes walking through the doggy door after a hard day of chasing birds and digging holes, put a big smile on their face with some slow, roasted, mouth-watering Bitolove dog treats. And don't forget to stop by Bitolove.com to learn more about our variety of flavors.
Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to Jones & Company Pets, we cover the world of animals. This week, by special request, Sandy Gaston, certified animal emergency and disaster responder, will share with us everything we need to know about disaster preparedness relating to keeping our animal friends safe. Also, Gifted Mystic and Channel Robin Alexis will join us to share recent information she's received about potential earth changes coming our way. Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
The Barking Lounge is Seattle's premier dog daycare and overnight boarding facility. With 24-hour supervision dedicated to the health and well-being of your pooch, it's no wonder why the Barking Lounge was voted best doggy daycare in Western Washington. New customers can mention this ad and receive a free temperament test and day of play care, a $44 value. Offer available for a limited time, valid for new customers only, and has no cash value.
Do you want to improve your health, take less medicine, or avoid medication at all? The naturopathic physicians at the Institute of Complementary Medicine, with over 60 years of experience, will help you on natural, practical solutions for better health. Ready for your annual checkup, feeling stressed or anxious, or have a chronic problem like allergies, diabetes, or sleep issues? Call 206-726-0034 or go to www.icmedicine.com to schedule an appointment. We're located on First Hill in Seattle, and most insurance is accepted. 206-726-0034. icmedicine.com. Natural medicine at its best.
Kemmley Electric Incorporated is a full-service electrical contractor. From simple home repairs to full remodels, new construction, and small commercial projects, our qualified electricians do it all. We pride ourselves on our workmanship and professional standards, delivered with value in mind. Located in historic Ballard, Kemmley Electric serves the greater Seattle metropolitan area, licensed, bonded, and insured. Kemmley Electric welcomes all inquiries about your electrical needs. Visit the website KemmleyElectric.com. That's K-E-M-L-Y Electric.com.
The new mainstream of talk radio. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to The Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. And I'm here today with author Robert Rohde of Dogged Pursuit. Welcome, Robert.
Thanks, Julie. Happy to be here.
Thanks for being on the show. So I am just about three quarters of the way through the book now, and I am so anxious to find out what happens. But don't give it away. So
I won't spoil it for you.
No, we'll save it also, too, for the listeners.
Right.
We are giving away free copies of the book today. So if you would like to receive a copy of the book so graciously donated, give us a call, 425-373-5527, or toll free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. So, Robert, this is a book written about your first year of competing with your Sheltie, Dusty.
Yes.
And he is a dog that you adopted, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But I'd first like you to just explain to people, what is agility?
Canine agility is it's basically doggy track and field, is what I like to say. It's an obstacle course that you lead your dog through off lead. So it's you lead your dog using only your voice and gestures through these obstacles. There are 9 main obstacles, including different kinds of jumps, a tire that you jump through, a tunnel, an A-frame they have to climb over, a catwalk, which we call a dog walk, and there are weave poles, which are just a line of poles that they have to slalom through, which is the toughest one for dogs. Everything else that a dog does in canine agility is a skill they already have. They all jump, they all climb, they all tunnel, but the weaves they have to learn from scratch. That was a big ordeal during our year. Mm. But the idea is for the handler to take his dog through the course with accuracy and speed. And if you get a qualifying score, you get to move on to get ribbons and titles. It's all very exciting.
Mm-hmm. And so you had started out, you know, you've had Shelties for a long time.
Yes.
And you, was Carmen your first Sheltie that you attempted agility with?
Yeah, she was. I was getting a little older and more sedentary, and Shelties, they require a lot of attention and a lot of stimulation, and I wasn't providing that at home anymore. So mm-hmm. I was looking for something to do with my dog, because, you know, working dogs, they need jobs. They need something to do. Mm-hmm. And someone recommended agility to me. I had never heard of it before, but I found a place here in I live in Chicago, here in the city, that where I could train once a week doing that. And I thought once a week, that was just perfect. That was all the time that I needed to devote to this, and, you know, I could work her at home as well. Get, you know, put a broom up on some chairs and do a jump. Mm-hmm. That would be it. I didn't realize that it was going to become an obsession. But Carmen was terrific. Mm-hmm. She was a natural. She had to learn things once, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And at her first trial, usually there are 2 different types of courses, and usually you run one each day, and most trials are 2 days, so you have 4 chances to get a qualifying score. And she qualified all 4 times and took first place in all of them, and she sort of went on from there.
Wow.
But eventually I had to retire her. She had a hip problem, hip dysplasia.
Mm-hmm.
It really, she loved it, but it was unfair of me to ask her to do something that caused her physical pain.
Right. So then you got Dusty.
Then I got Dusty. When I retired Carmen, I thought, well, I got my weekends back now. And I don't have to do agility anymore, but I found myself missing it. So I came up with the idea of going back with a different dog, and I sort of set myself the challenge of getting a new dog and a Sheltie, because Shelties do incredibly well at this sport.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the strange things about agility. Certain breeds take to it and certain breeds don't.
Mm-hmm.
But Shelties and Border Collies rule the sport. I thought, I'll get a Sheltie and I'll see how far I can go in 1 year. And I went to Sheltie Rescue. I was looking for the typical, you know, go-getter, eager to please, you know, go for the gold Sheltie. But I found a dog there that he just struck me as unadoptable, and he sort of lingered on their adoption list for months, until I finally decided my heart overruled my head, is basically what happened.
You talk about in the book your process through that, and how you got very romantic about the idea of your Dusty's story and how you were the one who...
Yes,
you know,
I'm a writer, so I do think in terms of stories. And yeah. I thought I could take this little unadoptable piece of scruff and I can give him a happy ending.
Yeah.
And so I decided to adopt him, even though he had a number of problems. He was pathologically shy. He was a fear biter. He still to this day he doesn't like physical affection of any kind. But I decided to go ahead with the plan anyway, even though I had a dog who was completely unsuited for agility. I thought I'd give it a shot.
Mm-hmm. So you talk a lot in your book about your experience socially with the other members in your agility club, which was called the All Fours Agility Club, and how you started out kind of with animosity towards the other, your fellow team members, or they're not really team members, but club members. And
my colleagues, I call them.
Yes. And, you know, sort of wishing them failure so that you would feel better about how you and Dusty performed, and then, which I can totally relate to, and then how your perspective started to shift and soften as you experienced the support from others in your training club, both to you and to each other.
Yeah, that was a real revelation for me because again, I'm a writer and I usually work alone. I didn't really ever have a sense of community anywhere in my life before. So when I joined with, I started training with these people once a week, and then when I started going to competitions with Carmen, they were always there together, and they would offer, let me put up a chair and join them.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't until I started regularly competing alongside Dusty that I realized that it wasn't just familiarity that brought them together. They really actually were very supportive of one another. And the sort of adversarial way that I went into the sport, with that testosterone thing, it's like, it's not enough for me to win. I have to knock everybody down on my way there.
Mm-hmm.
As I was humbled by Dusty, because Dusty was no Carmen, training him was a real ordeal. Their encouragement, they were as eager for me to succeed as they were to succeed themselves, maybe more so, which was surprising and very moving.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the big lessons for me over the course of the year was this discovery of community.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting, too, about what somebody does go through when their dog is, not keen on anybody touching them and will even snap. And it's kind of like, sorry. Like, that's not how I feel necessarily about you, but my dog is really antisocial. And it's an interesting thing that I think just the general public, anyone with an antisocial dog, has to deal with out in public, because oftentimes when people see dogs, they're like, oh, let me say hi. And it's like, no, my dog doesn't want you to. And then people say, but dogs love me. And it's like, well, this one will bite you.
Yeah. I get that a lot. Dusty has improved quite a bit since I've got him for a number of reasons. I think one of the main ones is just that I've gotten more sociable myself. He takes his cues from me. Most dogs take their cues from their owners or their handlers. But he still doesn't really like being touched, and he has a thing about children that just won't go away. He just doesn't like kids.
Yeah.
And I think possibly, since he's a rescue, and there's a lot about his history I don't know, I think he might have been tormented by kids somewhere in his past.
Sometimes,
kids can be very cruel.
Yeah. They're also, I think oftentimes, too, I've experienced dogs who have not liked kids, and kids have a different energy about them that a lot of dogs just don't trust. It's like, okay, you are not in control of yourself, so don't come anywhere near me.
Right.
Yeah.
That's very true.
Yeah. And what is, you talk a lot about the support that you experience within your agility club, and then you go to these trials. So what was the atmosphere with the general agility crowd, including people outside of your training club? Were they competitive, supportive, hostile, weird, all of the above?
It's very difficult for me to call. There was a lot of expectation for me to deliver a book about how freakish and weird agility people are, which that would have been very easy for me to do, because anytime you get people who are involved in any sort of subculture, there are going to be things about them that are different from the norm, and you can mock those. But, you know, I didn't want to take the easy route. And then, you know, aside from that, I've been training beside these people for a couple of years now. So if they're weird, then so am I.
Yeah.
But as far as being competitive, they're very, very competitive. I try to see the best in people, and with agility people, that's easy to do because they're striving to be the best.
Mm-hmm.
When I say they're competitive, what I mean is they're competitive with themselves. They're always trying to improve their own mm-hmm. performance and their own standing.
Mm-hmm.
Occasionally you hear people joke about border collies or shelties, because there's a little bit of jealousy that, you know, handlers of other breeds may be a little dismissive of handlers of border collies and shelties, because the idea is they don't have to work as hard, because the dogs are just so on.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't really seen much ill will or any bitter rivalries or anything like that. Mostly they're really good people.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, talking about, and you don't really go in, you just describe people in detail, which is wonderful. Your description of, you know, every experience at every trial, starting from getting up in the morning, is really very rich and detailed. There are a couple of interesting characters that you do talk about, one of them regarding magic time that we'll talk about. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with Robert Rohde, author of Dogged Pursuit. You're listening to The Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs on Alternative Talk 1150. This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist, and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
Hi, I'm Vicki St. Clair. I want to invite you to join me every Monday at noon for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. We'll talk with innovative business leaders, medical and health professionals, authors, filmmakers, adventurers, and ordinary people leading extraordinary lives. Join me Mondays at noon for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
Join Vicki Monday, July 13th for Our Daily Meds, a must-hear investigation of the pharmaceutical industry's aggressive promotional practices.
Check out our guest schedule at conversationslive.net and join me Mondays at noon.
Urban Beast. Fresh, modern, fun. Seattle's destination for all your pet needs. Located in the South Lake Union neighborhood at 217 Yale Avenue North, directly across from the REI flagship store. Urban Beasts features unique accessories such as toys, beds, collars, leashes, and more. They have a great assortment of healthy food and yummy treats for the pets you love. Open 7 days a week and offering free parking in the Alley 24 garage. Come see what the Beast is all about.
Is your pet suffering from allergies, cancer, arthritis, back pain, or digestive upset? The Holistic Animal Clinic treats these problems and more using holistic veterinary medicine and acupuncture to bring your pet to health. Dr. Masami Seplo's treatment supports the body's natural ability to heal itself, are non-invasive and highly effective. If your pet doesn't tolerate medication or nothing you've tried is working, visit theholisticanimalclinic.net or call 206-723-3809 to make an appointment. That's www.holisticanimalclinic.net, 206-723-3809.
Radio for your body, mind, and spirit. Alternative Talk, 1150.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM, and we are here with Robert Rohde, author of Dogged Pursuit. his year of competing Dusty, the world's least likely agility dog. And we are giving away copies of this book today. So if you would like to receive a copy of Dogged Pursuit, give us a call, 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527, or toll free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. You don't have to ask a question to receive a copy of the book, but if you do have a question for the author, feel free, and we'll have you on the air. We'd love to talk to you. So I alluded right before the break to one of the most interesting that I've come across so far in the book, characters, and that was regarding a ritual that she did with her, I think it was a bull terrier?
Yes.
Called Magic Time?
Yes. Yes, she had a ritual and was very open about it. Before she would do her runs with her dog, she had a little ritual where she would take him aside and she would relieve his pressure in a certain way, a way that most of us would just never consider interacting with our dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And I was quite shocked by that, as I think most people were. But, you know, I've being new to the sport and being really new just to the dog world, I always try to give everything the benefit of the doubt.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, I think I mentioned during my first trial with Carmen, it was indoors on a day at a soccer arena in July. It was absolutely sweltering in there, and I was talking to a woman who excused herself because she was going. She said, "I have to go apply some ice to my dog's scrotum," which she didn't use that word, which opened my eyes. But I thought, okay, that's exactly what she's going to do, and that makes actual perfect sense in terms of cooling down your dog. And why shouldn't we talk this way?
Mm-hmm.
This is, dogs themselves don't have any modesty or any social norms. So I always try to accommodate and learn. But this one threw me.
Yeah.
And from what I observed, it didn't actually work all that well for her because her dog was a little too relaxed in the run following that, which, as I said in the book, I would probably be myself.
Yeah. Like, what agility. Can't we just hang out? A lesson in radical acceptance, I guess. And that's true about dogs. You know, they really are non-judgmental, and that's one of their greatest benefits to us, is that we don't feel that we are being judged when we're with them. So we're just free to be. And it's definitely something to learn from them as well.
Yeah, they always do give you the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah. Well, I was definitely, I almost fell off my chair when I read that. So you wrote a lot about the trials throughout that year with Dusty. What about your experience training him in between the trials? How often did you train with him in between trials?
We would go every Thursday.
Okay.
The All Fours coach, who was just wonderful, she's one of the best coaches of any kind I've ever met, Dee Corboy Luluk. She would have regular Thursday classes.
Mm-hmm.
For beginners and for intermediate and advanced students. And, you know, we worked, as I did with Carmen, I started with Dusty and beginners and worked our way up to advanced. A lot of the people that I trained with when I was training Carmen were still there when I was when I returned with Dusty, which was kind of nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she sounds great from how you describe her. She sounds like a really wonderful teacher.
She is a pistol, too.
Yeah, I bet. Now, did you write this as you went? Because it is so rich in detail. Were you just sort of writing along the way, or did you just recall things at the end of the year?
I actually was keeping notes because, you know, I have like 1,000 ideas for books, and most writers do, and so this was one of them, and so I kept notes, and I had a little file for it, but it was only about 6 months into the year that I realized that this was actually a pretty good story, and I probably could make a book out of it, and I pitched it, and someone bought it.
Mm-hmm.
So that worked out.
Good.
That's one of the 1,000.
Yeah. And you talk a lot about the car rides and really just a lot about the day in and day out, but with so much detail. And your music was a big part of your experience, and you would choose very intentionally and deliberately what you would listen to as it was appropriate.
Yeah, a lot of people have commented about that. I think I just have a very intense personality. And that's just one of the ways it came through. Mm-hmm. I had to have a little soundtrack for my drive.
Yeah, and you had talked a little bit about your obsession with June Christie.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I'm just curious, real quick. Who is? What's her?
She was a jazz singer in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
Who's been kind of an inspiration to me. One of the things, I have a lot of hobbies and a lot of pursuits that I didn't put in the book because I didn't have a place. But one of them is that I'm a jazz singer. I perform, a couple times a month in town. I pull together a trio or a quartet and I sing.
Mm-hmm.
She's just one of the singers I draw inspiration from. Mm-hmm. The 50s was her big year. She released one of the first concept albums in record history called Something Cool, which was all like songs to evoke, a sort of a melancholy, sweltering summer day. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the albums I play mm-hmm. in the course of the book during one of the coldest trials.
Right. One thing that I wonder about personally, as I write as well, is when you're writing a book like this and really describing your colleagues and people who you interact with and will continue to interact with once the book comes out, do you worry or how much do you censor yourself as far as offending people or wanting to, write about what you think people want to hear as opposed to maybe saying something that's more truthful about your perspective?
Well, my idea, by the time I actually got around to writing this, was that I really did want to celebrate this community. And I can't do that while I'm hurting anyone. I wouldn't want to hurt anyone anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I went in with the idea that this was going to be a funny book, of course,
mm-hmm.
but that 95% of the humor was going to be at my own expense. Which was a challenge at time because, anytime you're with a group of a diverse group of people, there are always going to be people who are a little stranger than the others or who have characteristics that you tell your friends, but I wouldn't tell the world.
Mm-hmm.
So I did want it to be the story of my own awkwardness mm-hmm. and my own misadventures and my own, hilarious moments with this completely inept dog.
Mm-hmm. And I often encourage my clients, who I work with for training and behavioral, either just basic training or with some severe behavioral issues, I'm always recommending what I call dog sports, like agility or herding or coursing for,
right.
Whatever it might be for whatever breed they may have. You obviously went through a pretty intimate year with Dusty, a new dog with issues, competing and working as a team. What did you learn? I'm sure you could talk for hours about this, but in a nutshell, what did you learn about him as a dog?
I learned that that most dogs are incredibly, incredibly attuned to us. You learn this in agility, that the slightest gesture that you make on a course can influence what your dog does. If you're pointing to the A-frame and you're yelling A-frame, but your butt is pointing to the jump, the dog is going to take the jump.
Mm-hmm.
Everything has to. They pick up on the tiniest little mm-hmm. Signals from us. And what I learned about Dusty was that he was incredibly attuned to me. I was his alpha, the one who rescued him and gave him a home and was giving him this job to do. But that he wasn't that he was picking up almost everything that was wrong with him was coming directly from me. This was my big discovery.
Mm-hmm.
And that in order to change him and make him into a better agility dog, I had to completely transform myself as a man as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because there were times when I would get up in the morning and think, why did I enroll for an agility trial today? I don't want to do anything this weekend. I would resent going. The drive would make me cranky, and then I'd get there and I'd have a resentful, cranky dog, and I'd wonder, well, why?
Mm-hmm.
Why is he acting that way?
Yeah.
And it took me months to figure that out.
Yeah.
And then it was actually months after that before the change was integral enough in me that it started to affect Dusty.
Mm-hmm.
But we became a better team, and I think I became a better human being.
Yeah. Well, they are so, I mean, dogs really are experts in human behavior, and we often get so caught up in our heads and in our words that we forget about our nonverbal communication, which is what is most natural for dogs and how they communicate with each other. So, you know, how are we holding ourselves? What's our energy like? What are we doing as opposed to just what we're saying?
Yes, yes,
yeah.
Very much so.
And, well, let's take another break, and I have some more questions for you, Robert. We'll be back in just a few minutes with author Robert Rohde of Dogged Pursuit. And don't forget to call in if you want a copy of this book. We still have copies left to give away for free, 425-373-5527, or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. You're listening to The Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
Are you a doctor, dentist, or therapist? Have you ever wished you could take your dog to work with you? Visit HealingAllies.com to find out how you can train your dog to become a clinical therapy dog in your office or clinic. Clinical therapy dogs provide people with joy, affection, and emotional support in healthcare settings. Research shows that therapy animals have positive psychological and physiological effects on clients and patients. Meet your newest staff member, your dog. Visit HealingAllies.com or call 206-406-1455 for more information. That's HealingAllies.com.
The Natural Pet Pantry offers everything you need for feeding your pet a raw food diet. Most health issues pets face today are a result of poor diet. The Natural Pet Pantry makes raw, cooked in custom meals for your pets, all prepared locally using only grade A meats and vegetables. Located in stores around the Puget Sound, the home delivery is available from Stanwood to Gig Harbor. Visit naturalpetpantry.com or call 206-248-1079 for more information on how to add health and longevity to your beloved pet's life. That's naturalpetpantry.com.
Do you have legal questions? Need to know where to turn?
Hi, this is Rick Gregrick, your host of Northwest Legal Compass.
Northwest Legal Compass will address your questions on a variety of legal topics, including estate planning, asset protection, real estate and business planning, and more. The legal and accounting staff of Gregrick & Associates are dedicated to providing you with superior legal and tax services. Their integrated counsel is geared to the achievement of your goals.
Visit us on the web at rjglegal.com.
Be sure and tune in every Friday at noon here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Do you have an injury, old or new, that won't heal? Are you fighting a cold or illness you can't kick? Do you feel like you've tried everything and are still struggling to find wellness and balance in your physical health? Have you been unimpressed with acupuncture in the past? For over a decade, Robert Meduzia has been making a difference for people who thought they had exhausted their options. Don't settle for pain and illness. Call 425-828-6190. That's 425-828-6190. Again, 425-828-6190. The Acupuncture and Sports Clinic of Kirkland. Heal faster, play longer.
Alternative Talk 1150 is on the interwebs. Dial us up at 1150kknw.com.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150 AM. We still have books to give away of Dogged Pursuit. We're here with author Robert Rohde talking about his book and experiences with agility competition. wonderful book. I am totally inspired to take our cattle dog through Agility, who's just going to be a world champion, I'm sure.
I'll live vicariously through you guys.
Okay. So give us a call, 425-373-5527. Free copies of the book we are giving away. So give us a call, 425-373-5527, or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. And we'll get a copy of this book out to you for your reading pleasure. So you had mentioned earlier in our conversation, Robert, about how people sort of scoff at the border collie, you know, people with border collies and the dogs, I think Shelties you said too, who are really naturally inclined.
I hear that occasionally. I think people don't do it as much around me because I have a problem Sheltie.
Right.
That they think they may feel a little bad pointing out how good Shelties are when I'm standing by.
Right. Breaking the stereotype, Dusty is.
Yeah, they don't want to make me feel like I'm letting down the side or something.
Right.
But yeah, there are certain breeds do have reputations for being just a little too easy.
Yeah. Now, I can relate to that because we used to joke when I used to work with a training staff when I first started training several years ago, we would say never trust a dog trainer with a golden retriever because it was like, you know, what do you have to do, really? But I would assert that if you have a dog that's that good, you then have to be that much better with your communication, your body language, your speed, and
yes, you do.
Clarity.
I've seen border collies are the most focused and fastest dogs I've ever seen in the sport. And I've seen border collies get angry at their handlers on the course because they aren't getting the signals quick enough, they aren't being kept engaged enough. I've seen border collies turn around and just bark at their handlers, like, hurry up, more, more, more.
Yeah.
A lot of their handlers develop distance control then, with where they are able to just stand in the middle of the course and point and yell, and they don't actually have to keep up with the dogs then. That was one of the things I tried with Dusty, but never really got very far with it.
Yeah, you talked about there's one part with Fast where you have to do a send out.
Yes, yeah. You have to send the dog to the obstacle from a distance of like 5 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very challenging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting to say that some of the dogs maybe the people can't even keep up with.
Oh, yeah, that happens quite a bit.
Yeah.
Because, you know, this is a sport, and it's an athletic endeavor, but the dog is doing most of the running. So you do see people who are a little bit out of shape handling dogs, and I always think, man, if you just did a little basic working out, you could be so much better at this.
Yeah. And is it a pretty good workout for the person?
Yes, it's exhausting, actually, especially in when you are in an actual trial.
Mm-hmm.
When you're training, of course, training is different. Everything about training is different. When you get to an actual trial, it's like time moves differently and things go wrong that you never anticipated. I always end up out of breath.
Mm-hmm.
It's mentally and physically training.
Mm-hmm. When you were talking about Marilyn and your group, in her run, the last run before her mock.
Yes.
And just
her Master of Agility Championship.
Yeah. Yeah, and the pressure, it's like kind of like, because if it's got to be consecutive, is that right?
There are a couple of ways you can get it, but one of the ways you can get it is by getting 4 qualifying scores in excellent in one trial, in one weekend.
Mm, okay.
And she had gotten 3, so it was the last run and her chance to get this mock. So, yes, there was a tremendous amount of pressure.
Tremendous pressure. And
everyone she knew watching.
Yeah.
You know, and holding their breath.
Yeah. So I was at the Seattle Kennel Club Dog Show this past March, and they always have agility trials running throughout the show, which are really fun to watch. And there was a Papillon, I think her name was Ginger, who earned her mock like 13.
Good heavens.
I think she broke a record, like either a national record or a world record. It was a big deal. Yeah.
That's very impressive.
It was some insane amount of runs consecutively without a mistake.
Wow.
And she was like a 7-year-old or 9-year-old Papillon, the tiny little thing, just having her way with the agility course.
I'm going to have to YouTube and see if they put that up.
Yeah, hopefully they do actually have that run.
Ginger
on
Papillon. Okay, I'm writing that.
Yeah, Papillon. And the trial itself was at the Seattle Kennel Club Dog Show.
Okay.
This past year in March.
There are a lot of YouTubes of agility champions, I should mention.
Mm-hmm.
You can your listeners can check those out.
Mm-hmm.
Dusty has his own YouTube page, but of course that's more for comedy than for actual learning.
How would people find that?
It's the YouTube account is Dogged Pursuit, so look for videos by Dogged Pursuit.
Okay.
Or you could just type in Dusty IKC. That was his last trial.
Uh-huh.
He's also on Twitter as well.
Yes. Yes. I've been following
you. We're
very
post-millennial.
Yes. So, and that is Dogged Pursuit, correct?
Yes, at Dogged Pursuit, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I've been following. Now, you had said something recently on Twitter about Carmen. Are you still competing with either of them?
I don't want to spoil the ending of the book for you,
okay.
But something happens at the end of Dogged Pursuit that temporarily, it seems like it's going to temporarily derail my agility career, but not necessarily Dusty's. So I was forced to give up agility for a while.
Uh-huh.
And then in the period following period covered by the book, other things happened that sort of derailed me as well.
Mm-hmm.
I started competing another dog,
mm-hmm.
Which I hope will be a sequel.
Oh. So,
but he has another destiny that we're working on.
All right.
Dusty and I did a trial in February. I think that was our last one. There have been some personal things going on since then. My mother got ill and died. And, you know, the way life interferes.
Yeah.
But I think I'm hoping that we can get back on the circuit in fall.
Yeah.
Because I know he misses it.
Yeah.
He doesn't show it, but he does.
No, he doesn't show it. He'd never admit it. Well, we have given away some books, and we still have some more to give away, so give us a call. We still have a few minutes left in the show, 425-373-5527. Or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. Give us a quick call. We'll get your address and send you out a copy of Dogged Pursuit, all about Robert Rohde's year of competing Dusty, the world's least likely agility dog. And do you have, is there a Dogged Pursuit website? DoggedPursuit.com?
DoggedPursuit.net.
.net.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And you are on Twitter, and Dusty is on YouTube. I can't wait to look that up tonight.
And we have a Facebook fan page that's under my name.
Oh, good. And that's Robert Rohde, R-O-D-I.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're working the net.
Yeah. Well, I look forward to having you back once you write your sequel.
Oh, that would be wonderful. I look forward to it.
Yeah, thank you so much for being on the Dog Talk Show. It was a pleasure having you on, and can't wait to finish the book and find out what happens.
Let me know what you think.
All right. Well, my best to you and your dogs, and have a wonderful rest of your summer.
Thanks, Julie. You too.
Okay, thanks. All right. That was Robert Rohde, author of Dogged Pursuit. It's a great book about agility training with his sort of socially awkward Sheltie, who he rescues. It's a very entertaining, very well-written. If you can give us a call within the next minute or so, we can send you a book, 425-373-5527. So just a reminder, I'm going to be at Pharmaca in Madison Park this Saturday at 2 p.m. and also the following Tuesday at 5:30 p.m. Free question and answer, talks about training behavior and nutrition. I've got free food to give away, treats, car stickers, etc. And also going to be at All the Best Pet Care in Ballard, right there on Market Street. Going to have a big booth set up on Tuesdays for the rest of the summer. This week I'll be there from about noon to 3, and then probably in the evening the following Tuesday. So I'll keep you posted on that. But come by the booth. I've got free stuff to give away, and also free training and behavior advice, which is great.
For my money, you can't beat free.
That's right. Next week, we will be back, same time, same place, with the Dog Talk Show. Send me an email if you'd like me to mail you a car sticker for free. Really cute logo. host@dogtalkshow.com. We are also on Twitter, Dog Talk Show, one word. And I also have a page on Facebook for the Dog Talk Show under my name, Julie Forbes. And we'll look forward to being here next week with you, Eric. Thanks for your help today.
Thank you.
Yeah. Everybody have a wonderful week and weekend, and we'll look forward to being back next Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. You've been listening to the Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. This is Alternative Talk, 1150 a.m.